We present Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett and Michael Knowles, with special guests Norma Ronald, Tony Anholt, David Ryle, Michael Bilton, and Colin Starkey.
Ah, Charles, so there you are.
Morning, George.
Lovely day.
Lovely.
Thought we were going to miss it for once.
Miss it?
7:45.
Oh, no. Lots of time. There's another 1 minute and 15 seconds to go. Exactly.
Exactly?
Exactly.
Good Lord.
I fed the facts on our train's performance into the firm's new computer yesterday. It said it's going to be 1 minute and 15 seconds late. Exactly.
The computer?
No, the train, George.
You trust it that much?
Implicitly. Man's best friend used to be his dog, George. But very soon, it will almost certainly be his computer.
Feel rather silly taking it for a walk to the local, of course.
Of course. So, in 1 minute, the train will chug round the corner right on cue.
Ah, they don't actually do that anymore, as it happens.
What don't?
Train.
Trains?
Yes, they don't.
Don't what?
Well, chug.
Chug?
Yes, chug into view. Steam trains do, electric trains don't. Chug, that is.
Simply a figure of speech, George.
Ah.
Not in one of your argumentative moods this morning, are you?
No.
Oh, good.
Why?
Why what?
Why do you say argumentative?
Well, in our 15-odd years of travelling out of town together, George, I have occasionally noted your need to verbally nitpick.
Sorry about that. But working with words as I do, Charles, one does become rather conscious of the turn of the phrase. I mean, that's what advertising is all about. Words.
Not products?
New products as well, of course.
Of course.
Now, for instance, in this case, hissing down the track would have been fine.
Hissing down the track?
Yes, that's what electric trains do. Hiss a lot. When it's wet, of course.
Do they?
Oh, yes. Mind you, I can't think what diesels do.
Oh, I dread to think. Right. 30 seconds to go.
Oh, good. Can't wait to be on our way.
Yippee! You all right this morning, George?
All right.
Yes, you're looking suspiciously twitchy.
Twitchy?
Hmm. Hillary been having one of her turns again, by any chance?
Oh, no. She's fine now. Got her headaches back regularly.
That's good. I thought it was just a phase.
Yes, you were right as it happens. All back to normal now. Sleeps like a log.
Oh, good. So why the twitches?
Well, it's contained excitement, actually. The Bovero account.
Bovero?
Well, the commercial I'm working on at the moment. Thought I might have mentioned it.
Oh, that, yes, you have mentioned it. Once or twice over the last few years.
Months, actually.
Feels like years.
Can't wait to get to the office, to be honest. I came up with a piece of copywriting last week that could become one of the classics of the genre.
You mean a sort of beats as it sweeps as it cleans?
Oh, infinitely better.
Bravo!
Oh, it's nice of you to be so enthusiastic, Charles.
Not your commercial, George, the train. My computer's got it dead on time to the second.
After you, Charles.
Thank you, George.
Come. So, there you are at last.
George.
George, that's the one. Well, don't just stand there. Take a seat.
You're too kind. Nice of you to call me up to the penthouse like this, G.J. Last time I was up here was for a sherry the day your father retired and you took over. How is he, by the way? Well?
As well as can be expected, considering he's been dead for the last 6 months.
Good Lord. I had no idea. What a shock.
Yeah, he's a bit surprised himself.
But I never saw any announcement.
No. We kept it quiet so as not to disturb the share price. But enough of that. What's done is done. Now, down to business.
Oh, good. I can hardly wait.
Well, Charles?
Delicious. Thought you'd like it. Darjeeling?
No, corner grocer's shop.
Ah.
Now, to get back to the other business. As you can imagine, Charles, I'm going to feel dreadful about having to do it, but this computer program of yours does show quite clearly where the overmanning is and which men will have to go.
Well, they're all good chaps, and it'll be sad to lose any of them, but we do live in modern times.
Exactly.
I mean, this is the age of electronics. And if a company called Futuristic Electronics doesn't realize that, who will?
Exactly.
So, How many chaps from the shop floor are actually going?
Over 50.
Good Lord, as many as that?
Afraid so.
That computer's a butcher at heart. Makes Attila the Hun look like a mamby-pamby.
Yes.
And how many office staff are going to balance against the 50 from the shop floor?
Well, here's the amazing thing. We did as you instructed, put everybody's function along with salaries and length of service into the computer, and it churned them round and luckily came up with only the one name as being superfluous.
Oh, good. No, that's not so bad, then, is it? And who is the unfortunate blighter?
You are, Charles. I'm afraid so. In fact, the computer's going to take over your job. And it insists in the name of efficiency that you must go. Oh,
damn computer. It's never liked me from the start.
I wouldn't say that, Charles. After all, it has indicated to me, privately, that it does intend to organize lots of surprises for your leaving party at the end of the month.
Oh, how jolly and thoughtful of it.
And the outcome of it all was, we no longer have the Bobborough account.
What? But I was working on the finalized copy of it last week.
Ah, yes, the copy. In times of stress, why not undress? Lie down and have a Bobborough.
Would that be it? It most certainly would.
It seems a client accidentally got hold of the copy.
Ah, not accidentally, GJ. I was so excited with the concept and its subtle sexual innuendo that I decided to let them share my enthusiasm. I sent them a copy.
Well, they shared it all right. They enthusiastically took that account away from us, plus all the other business of theirs that we handle.
But there must be some way we can get it back.
There is, George, there is. But the price is high.
Really?
Yes. How long have you been with the company now, George?
Well, ever since I left the army, when your father offered me the post here. Not only because we've been in the same regiment all those years, but because I'd done a marvellous job pepping up a poster for a party in the mess.
Yes. Now, George, how can I put this delicately without hurting your feelings? I can't. George, you're fired.
Ah. Don't suppose it would be the best time to talk about the possibility of a little rise, then, would it?
Not really. Thought not. But we could perhaps talk about the posters for your leaving party at the end of the month. Father was right. You're good at those.
Oh, thank you, GJ. Nice of you to mention it.
Hello, George. Good to see you.
Hello, Charles. Have a good day.
Oh, yes. Super. And you?
Fine. Yes, I think I can safely say fine without any risk of overstating the sort of day I've had.
Well, that makes it super for me and fine for you. Which in toto equals super fine, doesn't it? Yes, that's what it is. Super fine.
I say, Charles, you all right? You're sounding slightly hysterical.
Am I?
Yes, you all right?
Oh, yes. Fine.
Oh. That makes two of us. You're awfully chatty this evening, Charles.
Aren't you?
Yes, me and you. Quite quiet.
Am I?
Yes. Normally about this time in the journey, you chat on about this and that. I listen and nod and smile and have little dozes in the pauses.
Good Lord, little dozes? Do you really? Oh, I never knew that.
There he is. In fact, I'm not terribly sure, but I think the pauses are my favourite part of these going-home conversations.
Well, it's nice of you to mention it.
So naturally, I noticed.
Noticed what?
No chatting.
But of course. Bit of a thought-provoking day, as it happens. Yes, thought-provoking, and that's the word.
Two words, as it happens.
Pardon?
Thought-provoking. It's two words.
Oh, I never said they weren't.
No, you said that's the word for it.
What is?
Thought-provoking.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more.
Would you like to talk about it?
If you'd really like to. What happened to you?
Yeah, I mean about you. Thought-provoking. Wondered if you'd like to talk about it.
Not for the moment, thanks all the same.
No.
Would you?
What?
Like to talk about it.
Yes, but if you don't want to, that's fine by me.
About what was thought-provoking about your day.
Ah, no, not for the moment. Thanks all the same.
Charles, you're George, you haven't by any chance.
Yeah, of course.
Of course you haven't.
Well, here we are at last. Home, sweet home.
I hardly think one can call the local station home, George.
Well, you know what I mean. The sense of the perilous journey safe behind one, the cares of the city life shrugged off, and one's worries left at the office. The office. Oh, Lord.
The office? Oh, Lord. A bit cryptic, that, George. Makes it sound as though you work in a church. What struck you?
I've just remembered. The first time ever I've actually brought a worry home with me.
Oh, best forget it. Same as I always forget mine. I leave all my worries with the computer. The computer? Oh, I was forgetting.
Forgetting what, Charles?
Nothing at all. I really must dash. See if I can catch Billy before he leaves the garden.
Give him my regards, will you?
Certainly. Righto, off you go to the right, George, and off I go to the left, and see your usual time, usual carriage tomorrow.
Righto. Bye, Charles. Mind the duck pond.
Of course, George. Bye.
Evening, Major.
Evening, Billy. Well, it's certainly looking lovely out here.
Oh, I'm pleased to think so.
Those tulips are looking splendid, aren't they?
The roses, you mean?
Yes, they're the ones. Splendid, and those daffs. What a picture.
Chrysanthemums.
Yes, I thought they might be. Very special. How's it all going more generally? Happy with everything?
Well, it's pretty much the same as usual, really. Your weeds grow up and I chop them down, and then your tomatoes hang down and I tie them up.
Yes. Fascinating, really.
Mother Nature's balance, I call it. She gives you black fly, green fly, slugs, bugs, pests and parasites of every description to irritate you. And then she gives you the beauty of the bowers of flowers to soothe you down again.
Wonderful thing, Mother Nature's balance.
Yes, with me in the middle as referee, of course.
That's exactly the thing I wanted to talk to you about. You see, I've been reading a book, a gardening book.
Oh, what would you want with one of them?
Well, I suppose it's really more of an anti-gardening book than a gardening book, if you know what I mean.
Anti-gardening?
Yes, extolling the virtues of gardens when left to their own device.
Oh, yes.
The magic of a myriad of multifarious weeds. Armies of aphids breeding in peace. Grass fit to hide gargantuan hordes of grasshoppers, etc., etc. Mother Nature being allowed to run totally amok, in fact.
But if you had a garden like that, the last thing in the world you'd need would be a gardener.
I couldn't have put it better myself.
You don't mean...
I'm afraid so, Billy. How would finishing at the end of the month suit you?
Are you all right, George? You look miles away.
Sorry, Hilary, dear. I was miles away.
I said, are you all right?
Oh, yes, it's fine. Delicious pudding, by the way.
Good. The way you've been toying with everything I put in front of you, I thought you might be a bit off colour.
No, delicious. I always loved shepherd's pie in any case. My favourite.
We didn't have shepherd's pie.
Didn't we?
It was toad in the hole.
Good Lord, was it really? I thought the meat was holding together in a very interesting fashion.
Beg your pardon?
Sorry. Lots on my mind. Perhaps I am a bit off colour. Better take a few days off soon. Or even a month. Sort of sabbatical. What do you say?
No.
Yeah.
It's bad enough on your holiday breaks. You sitting around moping, waiting to get back to the office and to all those young floozies you employ there, with their skirts split up to their backsides and cleavages down to their knees.
How many times do I have to tell you it's not my job to employ the floozies, the girls?
But you use them, don't you?
Hilary, my dear, the way you phrase that question leaves an awful lot to be desired. I do not use them. No using goes on at all.
So why the constant moping during your holidays?
Because we never go away. We haven't had a proper holiday for years.
Well, of course we don't go away. How on earth would my committees go on functioning if I wasn't there to chair them?
Well, they'd have to go on functioning if we had to sell the house for any reason and move to somewhere slightly less grand, wouldn't they?
Don't be absurd. That will never happen, George. In fact, we really should be moving to something larger. Somewhere I could hold a decent-sized meeting without having to go on my knees to the vicar every time I walk the church hall.
I say, do you really?
What?
Go on your knees to the vicar.
Figuratively, George, yes. Why do you think I have that incredibly boring wife of his on every single committee?
Well, I thought you liked her.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. She's insufferable. Stays deliberately underweight to make us all feel small. Now what are you doing?
Just remembered something. Got to have a quick word with Toss.
I wonder sometimes why you two just move in together.
Be a lot quieter.
What did you say, George?
Nothing, dear. Come on, Charles, pick it up. That's a good fellow. Ah, good.
Hello?
Charles?
Yes?
George here.
I know, I recognise your voice. I thought it might be the office, actually.
Whatever would they ring for? You've only just left them.
Well, I've only just left you, but you're ringing, aren't you?
I wondered if Bill is with you today by any chance.
Of course he is. I told you I was dashing back to try and catch him. You're not going potty or anything, are you, George?
No, I'm fine. Don't suppose you'd ask him to pop over here when he's finished there, would you?
What on earth for? You're Tuesdays and Thursdays this week. I'm Monday, Wednesday and Friday. It's next week he's with you on the Wednesday.
I know all that, but I wanted a little chat today.
George, are you going to be on that telephone all night? I've got to talk to my committees.
I've got to ring off now. Henry's got some urgent business. Would you ask him to call in on his way to the station?
All right. By the way, George, have you eaten?
Yes. I remembered it as shepherd's pie. Apparently it was toad in the hole.
Probably the meat was a bit stiff.
Probably.
Did you that? I was thinking of going round to the Dog and Duck for a quick snack.
Marjorie's a meeting?
Yes. Starvation in the third world.
I think Hillary's got a Weight Watchers later. I might pop round and join you when she needs.
Fair enough.
George, I'm waiting.
Better go. You send Billy?
I'll go and catch him before he leaves. Bye.
Easy, Harry.
Hello, Charles. This is a nice surprise. Bit unusual seeing you this early in the week.
I'm running away from the tin opener.
Wife out.
Meeting. Thought I'd come and sample one of your baskets of chips.
Anything in particular alongside the chips?
No, whatever's next in line will do. Always tastes the same in any case. Scampi, chicken, sausage. They all come out tasting like wickerwork.
Never touched them myself, so I wouldn't know.
You're a sensible man.
And what'll you have to wash the taste away?
Oh, just a drop of the usual.
Double?
Please. No, on second thoughts, best make it a small one.
Hello, starting to feel the economic pinch, aren't we?
No, we are not, Harry. And that's not the sort of remark one wants to hear in one's own local.
Oh, any joshing, Charles.
Well, it doesn't do in the present climate to josh over something as potentially worrying as that.
Talking about worrying, what about George there? Looks as though he's carrying half the problems of the Western world on his shoulders.
Better bring him as usual as well.
Single?
No, a double. It looks as though he needs it. Over here, George.
Evening, Charles.
There's a drink on the way.
Oh, good. I could use it.
Did Billy arrive all right?
Yes.
Everything all right?
Fine.
Well,
what?
Why the break for the routine after all these years? Sending for Billy out of turn, as it were.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Well... The Clematis.
Clematis?
Yes, and the Wisteria, of course.
Of course. So it was the Clematis and Wisteria, was it?
Yes. And beside those two things, I let him know that I'm sacking him at the end of the month.
What?
Yes, apparently I really must get some exercise.
Good Lord, what an amazing coincidence.
You mean you've got to get some exercise too?
No, I'm letting mine grow wild, actually.
Your body?
There's a garden. I told Billy tonight he'd have to go at the end of the month.
I never. Still, the end of the month's a long way off. He'll find something.
Of course he will. As you say, absolute ages to the end of the month.
Ages. Simply ages.
Order, please. Order, please. The manager would like to speak.
Say thank you. This is, of course, a sad, but at the same time, joyous occasion. Sad that we're saying goodbye to a comrade who's been with us now for many years. Joyous in that the quality of the clock we've all clubbed together to buy you to mark your many years of service, Charles, is a fair indication of how much we will miss you from time to time.
Charming. Charming.
Yes. And now we have a real surprise for you, Charles. A special treat for an auspicious occasion. I can now reveal that the computer has been connected to a voice box, so it too can give a final message of goodwill to send you on your way. I simply press this button here, and this one here. Yes, and it will give you its final message.
All I have to say to Unit 620ACL, now defunct, is...
As you all know, in advertising it's a tradition to get on, say your piece quick, get off. If it can't be said in 30 seconds, you've lost your audience and the message along with it. So here goes. Then we can get down to the important part of this farewell occasion, the booze, the banter, and the birds. Now, life is a campaign, and 20 years is a long time to run any campaign. It had its ups and downs, its highs and lows, but now it's run its course. Our companion has bravely decided to throw in the sponge and move on to pastures new. But of one thing you can be sure, old friend, your name will live in our hearts and minds forever. So let's lift our glasses and drink a toast to,
George.
George, that's the one.
George, that's the one.
And I look on this not as the end of a career, but as the start of a new adventure. Not as a sorrow, but as a super opportunity for starting afresh. And to the computer, who has decided to take over my function here, what else can I say but...
I didn't write, hands that do dishes can stay soft as your face. And I didn't write, don't forget the fruit gums, Mum. But I did write much copy over these many years, of which I have been justly proud. Classics like... In times of stress, why not undress? Lie down and have a bobberoo. Think just one example.
Get on with it, George.
Yeah.
Just one last thing. Many of you I know have wondered over the years what the G actually stood for in GJ's name. And I think now's the time I should enlighten you.
Don't you dare, you little creep.
Being so long with the firm and being a friend of his late father, I actually know the answer to that particularly well-kept secret.
Pull him down from that table. Stop him, somebody.
The G in his name stands for Geraldine. His name is Geraldine.
Oi, you! Watch out! Your toothache is moving!
Oh, good. Just made it.
Good Lord, Georgie boy.
Well, I've been blown. It's Charles. What on earth are you doing here at this ungodly hour?
I've just been to a little leaving party for some poor unsuspecting soul. The computer's gone and shot down in his prime.
How awful.
Oh, sad this. Dead tennis wife, apparently. Sacked his gardener to try to keep the cost down a bit.
That's terrible.
Disastrous. How about you?
Oh, dear, my job's very secure.
Of course it is. But why the late hour and a suggestion of having supped slightly more well than wisely?
It's the same thing as you, really. Some poor blighted didn't get his campaign right. Early retirement thrust upon him. Willy-nilly.
Willy-nilly?
That's the chap.
How about the gardener?
Checked him straight off.
Gosh. Must be murder being a gardener these days.
Yes.
How about the daily?
No, he's kept her on. Otherwise, the wife would notice and guess something very serious was afoot.
Same with me.
Pardon?
Same as mine. Chap got computer-sided.
Computer-sided?
Being murdered by a computer. That's what it's called. Computer-sided.
Is it?
Yes, past tense. Computer-sided.
Oh, is it?
It is now.
How interesting. What was I talking about?
Your chap, the one who got his campaign wrong.
Oh, yes. Doesn't know what he's going to do. Dare tell the wife. Bit of a tartar, apparently.
The chap?
Yeah, the wife.
Well, they usually are.
Tragic.
Oh, tragic. In fact, so tragic that if one missile wasn't made of sterner stuff, one would almost be moved to tears.
I know exactly what you mean, Charles. A poor, poor blight from the office. And the poor, poor blight from my office. Not daring to tell anyone, or even his best friend, of his terrible predicament.
I'm sure my poor blight is exactly the same. Not even his best friend. Life is so unfair, George.
So, so unfair.
George, I'm afraid you're going to have to forgive me, your son. But I'm going to have a jolly good blub on their behalf.
So am I.
Oh, these poor chaps are going to do, George.
But who on earth is going to come to their rescue? Nobody.
Oh, Well, George, parting of the ways.
Get away through off the platform and through the station, perhaps.
Good thinking. Wouldn't do to split up before it's time.
We'll never split up, Charles. We've faced some tricky situations in our life together, and we'll face trickier ones than this yet.
What's tricky about this? We've both only got a short walk home.
Hillary.
Oh, yes, Hillary. Tricky. At least she's got her headaches back.
That's a blessing. About Monday, Charles.
What about Monday?
I was just thinking. A new day, new month. You will be on the usual platform, usual time, for the usual train, as usual.
Why do you ask?
Nothing. I'm just wondering if you're going to be there.
Well, won't you be on the usual platform at the usual time?
Well, I'm not going so far as to say that I won't, no.
No good. Wouldn't be the same without having you there, as usual.
Fine. I'll be there.
In fact, if I was your chap at the office, that's exactly what I'd do, come to think of it.
Chap?
The one who got heave-hoed.
Oh, him.
Yes, you know, brolly, briefcase, cheerio, see you this evening, darling. And then home, usual time to slippers, sherry, and evening, darling.
Would you, if you were him?
Oh, yes. It's the only answer. Till something turns up, that is.
But what would he do to fill his time during the day?
I'll think of something. Provided it's legal, of course.
Of course. Anything in particular?
No, just anything legal.
Oh, jolly thoughtful of you. And you don't even know the chap.
No, I don't, do I?
I'll pass the advice along. Quiet word in his ear. Oh, here we are.
Righty-ho, off you go to the right, George, and off I go to the left. And as decided, see you usual time, usual carriage on Monday.
Righty-ho, look forward to that.
And me.
And whatever you do, Charles, make sure you mind it.
What a damn skinny place in of duck ponds.
Bye, Charles. See you Monday.
You've been listening to Anything Legal by Wally K. Daly, starring Donald Hewlett as Charles and Michael Knowles as George, with Norma Ronald as Hillary. Also this week, Tony Anholt featured as G.J., David Ryle as the manager of Futuristic Electronics, Michael Bilton as Billy, and Colin Starkey as Harry the Publican. The theme music was written by Jim Parker, and the program was produced by John Fawcett Wilson.
Anything legal,
but nothing naughty, nasty,
or not nice,
or no,
anything legal, anything legal, and we are going to take our own advice.
What are we going to do, Charles?
Anything legal,
anything legal, and we are going to take our own advice.
What a good idea, George.